So I'm just about to give Natalie Handsjuck a call. It's about 6 weeks since Phoebe's Fall aired its last episode, so it'll be interesting to see how she's going.
Hello, Richard.
Good morning, Natalie. How are you?
I'm well. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you.
The Homicide Squad has been called in to investigate the death of a woman in Melbourne. The 24-year-old's body was discovered last night on the ground floor of a St Kilda Road apartment building.
As soon as I found out how she died, ostensibly by climbing into a garbage chute, when she was pissed.
I don't think she climbed in there by herself.
I have no idea how anybody thinks anybody could get in that thing.
She hated being caged and she was claustrophobic. So I can't see her ending her life that way.
This is Phoebe's Fall, a podcast from the Age newsroom in Melbourne. I'm Michael Batchelard.
And I'm Richard Baker.
And we've been investigating the short life and brutal death of Phoebe Handsjuck.
So we're going to need somebody really good, someone who knows the case, someone who's interested in the case, and someone who believes that things this should be made right. And I hope there's someone out there that will be willing to do that, to help us, to have a go. It would be a new thing.
That's Phoebe Handsjuck's mother, Natalie, talking about getting a lawyer to help her challenge Coroner Peter White's finding that Phoebe's death was a tragic accident. In the final full episode of Phoebe's Fall, we talked about how her family wanted to appeal and have the decision changed to an open finding.
But they were advised by top QC, Ross Gillies, that challenging the finding was just about impossible under Victoria's Coroner's Act, and they risked a huge bill if their legal bid failed.
So, Rich, what's changed?
Well, this week, Victoria's Attorney General, Martin Bakula, said he'd review the Coroner's Act. He wants to know if the most recent changes to the Act in 2008 made it too hard for people to appeal a bad decision.
The change in 2008 meant families couldn't challenge a coroner on their interpretation of facts or the weight they gave to particular evidence. So right now, families have to show the coroner made a perverse error of law. And so, for the past 8 years, there's only been one appeal of a coronial finding in Victoria. Rich, the inquiry is a pretty significant concession by the government, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And Martin Pakula's announcement follows an earlier pledge by the Victorian opposition to reform the Coroner's Act to broaden appeal rights. This was largely in response to Phoebe's Fall.
So, there's no doubt Phoebe's case has been a catalyst for this political action. The deputy leader of the National Party, Stephanie Ryan, recently used parliamentary privilege to call for a review of Coroner Peter White's finding of accidental death. She's the same age as Phoebe would be if she were alive.
There's another bit of news to report as well on the political front. Victoria's Shadow Attorney General, John Pesciuto, has signalled that the opposition would take the rare step of protecting Phoebe's family from any costs orders against them if they appealed to the Supreme Court. John Pesciuto has challenged Premier Daniel Andrews and Martin Pakula to match him.
That could potentially save Natalie and Phoebe's family hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's pretty rare for a government to do that, but there is a precedent in Victoria. It happened back in 2011, when the government offered to pay the costs of a Supreme Court bid by Jean Priest, the mother of 7-year-old Linda Stillwell, who went missing from St Kilda's foreshore in 1968.
That funding helped overturn a coroner's decision that the convicted child killer, Derek Percy, didn't need to give evidence in the case because of his mental state. He was the key suspect in her disappearance and presumed murder.
Anyway, I told Phoebe's mum, Natalie, about the political moves and I asked her what she might do.
We as a family would definitely have a go, but if we were protected from the cops, there are some rare cases where in this sort of situation our case might be heard more sympathetically, but I'm not sure that things would be very different. I think that despite the public outrage about this case, and it's obvious that it could have been an open finding, it should have been, and yet this particular coroner chose to call it an accidental death. And
Natalie says the public feedback after Phoebe's Fall and author Robin Bowles' Into the Darkness book about Phoebe's death has been overwhelming. There have been offers to set up crowdsourcing drives to help fund an appeal.
We've been overwhelmed by the number of people who've offered to support us financially to help us appeal this finding. The truth is everything. Well, that's what we've sought from the very start. People need truth. It's so important for us to be able to say, now we know what really happened to Phoebe. Because we certainly, none of us feel that what we've been told is the truth. We've had someone, a very powerful person, stand up and say, this is what happened to your daughter. It seems so flawed to us that that's what shakes you. It messes with you, with your head. The truth is everything. I think it's what people fight for all the time.
Richard, I guess an open finding doesn't provide any answers for Natalie, but at least it would give the family some hope that in future more information might come out.
Yeah, and I think an open finding is just what they believe is a fair outcome. Anyway, as Natalie contemplates the emotional energy required and the potential financial implications of mounting an appeal, she and the rest of Phoebe's family have just marked the 6th anniversary of her sudden, shocking death.
On the 2nd of December, it was the 6th anniversary of Phoebe's death. What did you do that day to remember her?
Well, I did what I normally do, and I went to her resting place, where we have a stone submerged in the water with an inscription for her. And I spent a bit of time sitting at the edge of the lake, just really just reflecting on her life and how lucky we are to have had her in it, even though it was for such a short time.
If Phoebe were about, what do you think she'd make about all the fuss and all the publicity over this? What would she say?
Oh, boy. She was pretty shy, actually. But she had a really fierce sense of justice or injustice. It was the thing that fired her up more than anything. She lost her life where she was just starting out, really. But if she was standing here and this was happening to someone else, she'd be standing up and fighting like hell.
So, Rich, it's not going to be an easy road for Natalie, especially while the Coroner's Act remains as it does. At the very least, she's going to need help to draft a letter to ask the Attorney General to indemnify her against costs.
And even if they get that, Natalie's legal team would need to seek leave from the Supreme Court to seek a review of Coroner White's finding. You get the sense that sooner or later, there will be a big legal push to have Coroner White's accidental death finding set aside and an open finding put in its place.
Well, that's it for this mini-episode. We'll report back on the legal and political situations as they develop.
Phoebe's Fall is presented by Richard Baker and Michael Batchelard, with additional reporting by Nick McKenzie. Production by Tom McKendrick and Tim Young. The consulting producers are Julie Pizzetti and Siobhan McHugh. Matt Absalom Wong manages web development for the series, and our production assistants are Jake Evans and Lucy Dean. Audience development support from Dawie Cook and Michael Schlechter. Our executive producer is Michael Batchelard. You can find extra features for this series at theage.com.au/Phoebe's Fall, and if you want to contact us anonymously, click on the link Do You Know Something? For access to the best investigations, news exclusives, commentary and more, subscribe to The Age or the Sydney Morning Herald at theage.com.au or smh.com.au. Just click subscribe.